Hey, and welcome to the Grace Hour Show. It's podcast time again. And that's not deceiving you. Yes, it's me. It's me again.
I'm always this show.
I'm always talking to you. Now, I'm Pastor Steve Androlotis with Greater Grace Church here in Baltimore. And yes, I've been on quite a bit lately. Philippe Siragi is with me, and he's sort of laughing about
sometimes.
This because we're tag teaming a lot lately. So,
yeah.
But it's good. We're talking about the idea
How
of mission
you have your
this
own
week.
Show?
Pardon me?
How is it you have your own show?
You know, we just have to prepare. You just have to be ready to talk about a variety of things. It's like, you know, some of the famous talk show hosts, they did spend lots of time just like getting themselves ready for their little discussions that they had there. Yes. So we hope that we're stimulating some thinking processes. I hope so. I mean, it's stimulating me anyway.
Yes.
But we're talking about training and preparation for a mission this week. So we're doing that by talking about five men in the Bible: Moses, Gideon. Is it David that's on Wednesday? I think David's on Wednesday. Is that right? Is it David on Wednesday? Thursday will be Jesus. That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah.
And then Friday will be Paul. So each of these men had different experiences as to how they got to where they were in leadership and in the mission and purpose that God gave to them. So today we're going to talk about the person of Moses, and you know, very important. We have these five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the first five. They are attributed to him. He was the leader of Israel at a point in history. He was given the Genesis record. He was given the legal system, the religious system. He was given the all of the, what is it, all of the dimensions and the specifics of how the tabernacle in the wilderness was to be designed and built and what is it, decorated.
Yes.
So Moses has a lot. He's like one of those all-encompassing leaders. Mm-hmm, he got a lot of... Had to do a lot. And he had, you know, encounters with God, long encounters with God, 40 days, 40 nights with God. So we're going to talk about his preparation and how we can glean from what we read from Moses. Like, there will never be another Moses. You will never be another Moses.
No.
Don't take up that stick that you found in the woods and try to divide the Chesapeake Bay and walk through on dry ground, okay?
I mean, you can try.
Okay, that's a warning to you watching the podcast. That probably will not happen.
Yes.
We don't want to hear of you on the news being rescued by the Coast Guard.
Anyway, drowning with a stick.
It's Monday. We gotta talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's open it up here. Philippe, your thoughts about Moses and, you know, why he is important for us to understand as a person and leader.
Yeah. Before we do, like, maybe some framing about the conversation itself. So, I mean, it will help me just stay focused on what we're trying to do. There's obvious things that you and I had to learn. Like, we're both leaders in the church, you know, and in different ways because you're a pastor and I'm not. But I mean, in the sense that there's a fundamental difference between the way we do things in the natural and the way we do things in the spiritual world, right? So not in the way that natural is always bad. We do have talents, but those talents may not be useful or helpful in a spiritual environment. So the whole, I think for me, when I see this week, I'm looking at all these people like, you know, Moses today, Gideon tomorrow, is looking at what we can learn from them when they, because we naturally enter into the spiritual things in the usual way, like we do in a natural way. So my soul clings to the dust. So when I face some issues, if I don't think with God, then I think with myself. So the whole idea of Romans 12:2, like the renewing of the mind, being filled with the Spirit, this is really what we're talking about here in a sense, because I think can a CEO or a company run the operation of a church successfully? Yes. But will he at some point get in the way of the vision of the church? One question I remember in a meeting we had about budget, you know, in the church, for example, Pastor Shala, you know, he would we're discussing the thing, and then we try to have a balanced budget every year because we want to be good stewards.
Yeah.
So there is technical things that needs to happen. On the other hand, the question was asked just for us to have this conversation: at what point do we trust God? You know,
I see.
Are we limiting the vision to what we can afford, or are we trusting God for more? Mm. And anyone who is in the business world will tell you, well, we don't have the funds for this. We don't have the fund for this, which I understand. There's wisdom. That's why we have in our church a board of trustees.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to give you just one, just one example of saying, when we talk about this week, we're looking at a man, for example, like Moses, mm-hmm. who spent 40 years with the Pharaoh. What did he learn? We don't know. The Bible is not mm-hmm. specific.
What was he exposed to?
Yes, what was he exposed to? But did he have to unlearn things? And I would say one hint would be the way he dealt with when he killed that Egyptian, you know, beating on the Hebrews. That would be his natural tendency. So what would that be helpful? Because he went from this to being the meekest man on the earth.
Mm.
Did God do something? Did mm-hmm. God transform his thinking? So I think for me, this is what we're talking about this week, is realizing no amount of talents, natural talents, can be helpful in any way in my spiritual life.
Yeah.
But, like, for example, you're a good singer. You play music. Mm-hmm. You can take your natural talents, because you had them before you were a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your natural talents and submit them to God, and he can use them.
Yes.
But if you were using your talents like the world, you would want to be on stage for your own sake.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go on stage, because you work with God, then it's for the glory of God. So that's what I think this is one of the things we're discussing this week, is how can we learn from these characters in the Bible, from these people in the Bible, and how can that affect my way of seeing what God brings in my life, and how important it is for me to learn how to exit my natural temperament to enter into the spiritual world, right?
Yeah. So I think, okay, let's look at these. We ran down the week a little bit about the people that we're looking at: Moses, mm-hmm. Gideon, David, Jesus,
and Paul.
Paul. So take Jesus out of it. Yes. Different dynamic.
Absolutely.
But the other four men, we know, how did they get to where they were?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that God chose them.
Yes.
God put them in their places. So we know that Moses was alive by grace.
Yes.
Read the book of Exodus. We know that his mother sat him in a pitch-covered basket, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and rescued him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was given back to his mother for nursing and nurturing until he was more like a toddler, maybe first grader or something like that. We don't know how long that period was, but perhaps what was the education of Moses? Like, what some of the early preparation we know was in his literal home with his real mom. And then he was taken to the palace of Pharaoh. But apparently he did. It says that he recognized his identity as a Hebrew living as an Egyptian. And that's why he reacted when one of his, you know, family members was being attacked by an Egyptian. He killed him. It's like, you know, like you said, he had a, he had to unlearn that kind of, dynamic. And so we know that he was sent for 40 years in the desert. And while he was there learning how to be a shepherd, married to Zipporah, and then he saw a fiery bush and he drew near and God spoke to him.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, we see Gideon. Gideon was met by the angel of the Lord. Yeah. We know David was anointed by Samuel, had a great victory on the battlefield. And then we know that Paul was knocked, to the ground by a light from heaven when he was on his way to destroy the church.
Yeah.
So we know that all of these men, had, so how do we reconcile that dynamic? Is like all of us, as believers, leaders, we are chosen by God. We are fitted into his purposes by grace, right?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I think when you, I mean, we have these names for the week, but look at every character in the Bible. Everyone, like you and I, resort to our natural resources when we don't walk in the Spirit. And that's what we have to unlearn. Yes, can you be a Christian and a disciple and fall into those traps all over again? Yes, of course, that where sin abound, grace much more abound. But when God calls you into a mission, when God calls you to leadership, he also calls you in not a different category, but he has more standard in looking at your life. We see that when the pastoral epistles with the list of requirements for the elders are specific to the elders. There's a lot of things there, and none of those things can actually work on a daily basis unless you walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like if you and I can accomplish the work of the Spirit without the Spirit, then it's not the work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at, you know, Moses is one, you know, he gets mad, he kills someone. Abraham gets afraid, then he lies about his wife, you know. And you can go to Gideon, he's afraid, so he's going to his natural temperament, asking God for more proofs. Yeah. You know, I think about Gideon, I mean, we're anticipating tomorrow, but it's fascinating to me when you think, like, I don't know, where you put a fleece, he puts the fleece before God,
yeah,
and he gets exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's reverse it tomorrow. Like, why? You know, because and God was amenable to that. He just, yeah, he humored him.
Yeah.
So that's also interesting, because I think it's one thing that is also, because I'm saying, when I said like specific requirements for leaders,
yeah,
we might all feel disqualified, but there's one thing that God knows, that we're but grass that withers. So that's why he's going to give Gideon two tries. That's why he's going to give Moses a lot of, you know, room to grow. And I think what we're discussing this week and today in particular is, okay, look at Moses' life. He's a hero of faith.
Yeah.
Of course, he is, like, according to Hebrews 11. But it's not because of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of what God did in his life.
Yeah.
Right? And that qualifies you and I.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Moses was, you know, one, his life was saved because of a brave mother,
mm-hmm,
and then a compassionate woman taking a bath who just happened to be a relative of the king,
mm-hmm,
the Pharaoh. Also, he had this tragic failure, this destruction that he did, and he was driven away from where he had learned, you know, we don't know what he had learned, but we know that those 40 years were not certainly spent just wandering around, mm-hmm, Egypt. He was, mm-hmm, learning things, and he got exposed to the idolatry, I'm sure. That was one thing. But I think one thing that we need to recognize is his awareness. And in all of these cases that we're talking about, and in the other people in the Bible, when the voice of God, you know, comes to you, when the presence of God is there, how sensitive are you to that?
Yes.
Like, so here's Moses is on the wilderness for the fact of his failure, but he notices this bush that should have just, you know, lit up and like fell to the ground as ashes, mm-hmm, but it wasn't burning up, and he went nearer and nearer, and then God spoke to him. Like, imagine that, you know, imagine you start a fire in your, I don't know what kind of grill you have, but I use charcoal grill. Mm-hmm. I don't have a charcoal grill right now because I live in an apartment. I'm not allowed to do that. And that's a whole story. But imagine, like, if something speaks from your charcoal grill, it's like, would you answer it? Would you answer it? It's like, you know,
sure.
Somehow Moses, when he came close to it and God said, Moses, Moses, am I hearing things? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I look over to the sheepfold over there. You know,
what have you?
And of course, the sheep all have names.
Yes.
You know, Jericho, you know, whatever name he gave to the sheep over there. I'm sorry. Did you just say something? And I'm, you know, because again, you know, we have Balaam who had a donkey talk to him.
Yeah.
It's like, so here's Moses is answering a voice from fire. So, you know, it seems that that's a qualification, is like the sensitivity to hear the voice of God and recognize the presence of God, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I think recognizing the presence of God is what makes us aware of the importance so we're going to use the same, that drawing Pastor Charlie uses a lot in his services, you know, when he preached the house with two floors.
Two floors, yeah.
The upper, I think, floor, this is what we're talking about. The first floor is the natural way we think, and we all live there. And the second floor is thinking with God. And so the point, I think, for me when I look at this, and I've heard him say this several times, is that it's not that I have to live in either floor. It's either I live on the first floor or I live on both. Mm. Meaning that I don't, we're not saying that, you know, like the natural life is the strict opposite of the spiritual life, is that God has something to tell me about this natural life.
Mm-hmm.
So we have work, we breathe the same air, people who don't believe in God, we drive the same cars, we do the same things, we eat the same food, except God has a thought you know. Mm. And I think the humility that we see in Moses and other people in the Bible is that recognizing the limitations of our natural state, which allows me to be humbled before God, receiving from Him. And when I see Moses in front of the bush, he had to learn something he didn't know. Because, first he goes to the bush. That's odd. A bush that doesn't consume itself. Then the bush that speaks. And then the bush that tells me I need to remove my shoes. Yeah. So Moses didn't remove his shoes. He didn't know. So it's almost like God has to guide us into an understanding of things we don't know. And at this point, he's called by God. He's going to do something he never thought he would. And we know the story. He's going to dispute with God at some point. I don't know if I'm capable of doing this.
Yeah, I can't talk so good.
I look at my resume. I don't have the qualifications. I don't have this specific certification. You know, I didn't go to college, whatever that is. And God is saying, well, I'm equipping you. You know, and I think the first thing that we see in the preparation for Moses is that we encountering God. That's what the Christian life is like, meeting God. And I think when you look at the Bible, especially, I like to read in the Gospels or in the Book of Acts when people meet Christ for the first time once he's resurrected, and how did that change their life forever? Mm. Peter was a coward and he was the most courageous guy, you know. And then why? Because he met the resurrected Christ. So when we look at Moses, when you look at our lives, what are we looking for? Do I have the courage to do what God wants me to do? Mm. I do not have it unless I meet the burning bush, unless I'm instructed by God how to live my life. And then I find myself, like God gives me the call and gives me the means to enter the call. And that's, I think it's one of the great lessons we are going to learn this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so you talked about that, like the sense of insecurity that he had, and God had to work him beyond that sense of insecurity. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't talk so well. My tongue doesn't work the right way. I'm not going to be able to speak to thousands of people. Why would they listen to me anyway? And so he starts to ask, you know, the engagement that goes on. This is the big thing, I think, with all people that we're talking about here, these kind of people, is listening to God, engaging with God, having an intimacy with God. You know, some of the things that we learned in our sermons yesterday, the voice of God from Pastor Matt Garrett last night, Pastor Schaller in the morning talking about, the intimacy that we have, the two pillows, those kind of things, having this kind of, and here's somebody sensitive to what's going on. Maybe it just seems like when you're looking at, in particular, Moses and David, we know that they were both shepherd people and they were caring for a flock when God chose them to be the leaders of his people in one situation and another situation. Enslaved in Egypt here, crying out to God for deliverance, and God finds Moses as the answer for this. David, the people are enslaved to their disobedience, their idolatry, their disunity, and then a king, Saul, who was a mental case. And, I'm sorry, am I allowed to say that? Is that he had a problem? He had a problem with insecurity, overwhelming insecurity. Yes. I'm just, if I say a word that's like not acceptable anymore, just please forgive me.
In your defense, though, it's something I say, I'm going to open a parenthesis. Sometimes, you know, it's like, it's funny how today when you use the words, like you use it from, it's like if I read the Bible, you know, the words in there that are not in use anymore, yeah, but I'm right. From this time. So I think sometimes I'm using words people say, well, you can't use this word. Well, I guess I can't today, but I mean, you have to understand when I use it, it comes from where I come from, which is, you know, right. So let's not make a big
deal. Where have
you
been?
Let's not make a big deal out of a small deal.
So I'm just thinking like Moses, learned what he learned educationally.
Yes.
Maybe he may have understood, like, because when he's giving the Genesis record, how much of that stuff, where did the story of Job come from? We know that these pieces of literature are dated to the same time frame. Did Moses introduce the story of Job to people because he learned about this guy while he was in the palace of Pharaoh? We don't know. Mm-hmm. We just know that, and on this, what kind of relationship did he have with God in those 40 years in the desert watching the flock, being a father, being a husband, being related to a priest, some sort of a man who worshiped the Lord in Midian in a different way, but not in according to the way that God was going to teach Moses how the people of God should worship the Lord. So we you know, hearing God, recognizing his voice, doing as he is told. This is like a capacity. That's how he became, like you said, the meekest man on the face of the earth. He could listen to God and do what God told him, correct? Right?
Yes.
What do you have to say about that?
Yeah. I just caught off guard by looking one of the...
I can't see it over here.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Well, thank God. Can you repeat what you just said?
I'm easily
distracted. I'm not as young as I used to be, so what's the expression?
Oh, you're gonna go there, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, some of us age faster than others.
Okay,
you know, don't worry about it.
All right. I'm approaching 64, everyone, and so
I'm 12 years younger, but my brain is about 15 years older.
I'm wandering through my apartment singing that old Beatles song, "Will You Still Love Me? Will You Still Need Me When I'm 64? I'm just wondering. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry for the pop culture reference. It came just out of my mouth. A lot of my friends who are my age from high school are talking about this.
Yes.
Where are we? The great contra. Oh, interesting.
No.
I don't want to.
No.
Yeah,
neither.
We won't talk about that one. Skip that one. What were you distracted by up there?
I tell you, I'm easily distracted. What were you saying earlier before I distracted you?
I'm sorry. It's Monday.
Those two guys are old.
We're going to get back on track.
Hopefully, we'll do better tomorrow.
Yeah. the preparation process, the idea of being sensitive to the voice of God, the initiation of God. God comes to you answering the call. I think a turning point in human history is the offering of Isaac and Abraham.
Yes.
I read a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, Orthodox Jewish rabbi wrote a book, and he talked about the significant thing about the offering of Isaac was that God told him to offer Isaac, and then God told him not to. And the significance there is that Abraham believed the voice of God in both cases.
Yes.
Because if Abraham was just a religious person offering children, child sacrifice, offering this kind of sacrifice was not unknown in the days of Abraham, especially in the pagan culture he came out of at Ur. So when he heard God say, okay, no, don't do it, it's like he knew enough that the voice of God was this time, and then the voice of God said this. It's like, you know, when you ask Francoise, your wife, you say, would you like to go to this restaurant or this restaurant? And then on your way, you know, I really don't want this kind of food. I'd rather have this kind of food. You got to turn the car around and go to the other thing. And you don't, you know, it's like, you know, and maybe you're slightly annoyed because you had prepared your palate for this food. But it's like, you know, when Moses came to that, something in him, something in his heart said, This is a transcendent voice that's talking to me from this burning bush.
Yeah. I think God knows what it takes for him to get our attention. Right? When you look at how you said earlier when you and I were prepping this morning, you said, like, it's funny, you take all the people in the Bible, none of them are dealt by God in the same way.
Yeah.
I think
it's
God,
different relationships.
Yeah, I've heard, I think was it Pastor Butch Vieter who used to say God addresses capacity. You know, I like this idea. Like maybe it takes someone like Moses, a burning bush. It will take Abraham, you know, or Jacob, a vision. It might take Paul to be struck down from his horse on the way to Damascus. It will take, you know, another, you think about the stories, you know, it will take David to face a lion and a bear, maybe, you know, before he was called into the battle with Goliath. God knows how to address our capacity. And I think it's interesting because I like this expression. I think I've heard Pastor Shibili said several times, God does not call the equipped, he equips the called.
Okay.
And I think it's one way to address what we're seeing today, what we're saying today is, like, am I capable? Are we capable of doing anything in the kingdom of God by ourselves? The answer is absolutely no. So what I see is, like, a story. I mean, you know, Sebastian, who is our producer here, you know, we come from the same country. We both come from France. And when I was a teenager between the age of 15 to the age of maybe almost 18, I didn't really walk with God, right? I just wanted out. I wanted out like everybody, you know, like when you're certain. So I was in the church for a couple of years, 13 to 15. So I did everything I could to get out, you know, and in one way, I just tried to convince myself God was not real. And then when I compare what the world offers and what the church offers intellectually in terms of response of the fundamental questions of life, I realize, well, it makes more sense when I hear from my friends, you know, in the church tells me more. So I go back. And then what happened really is, I think a month after I came back to the church, maybe a month and a half, one of the pastors in the church calls me and says, hey, I'm preaching tomorrow morning. Do you want to do the intro? I'm thinking, I'm not capable. Yeah, I just, but in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to reach out to this guy, you know, and maybe he learns more about life than most people that stays in the church. So I remember I spoke about 1 Corinthians 13. I remember exactly what I said. I was 18, so it was like a few decades ago. And the point being is that I didn't feel capable. I didn't, but I said yes just because I thought, okay, well, you know, it's for me, it's like almost like a new conversion. I'm excited with God. So I go and I do it. And I had so many good feedback from people saying, well, it was so edifying. Thank you. And I realized, well, maybe there's something in my life that God could use that I was not aware of. And he brought me to Bible college. So the next month or so, I enrolled in Bible college because at the time we started in October in France because we followed the French university system in terms of semester and everything. So, and I don't think if I wasn't called to do that intro, which was seemed completely unwise and out of place, but God knew how to address capacity at the time and give me a chance of thinking maybe you didn't find your way in the world. Maybe God's saying, you'll find your way in the church. Maybe I can use you, you know. And it took like this simple intro in the church by somebody asking me to do it and getting some edifying feedback to realize, okay, I'll go to Bible college. As simple as that. So it's something very small. But God knew if he would touch me where it was sensitive, like maybe I felt at the time the only way for me to follow God was to have this idea that could be useful. Otherwise, I wouldn't. I think it's when you're young, you're trying to find that in your life. Okay, what is the meaning of my life? So was it the best sentiment to have on the topic? Probably not. But God knew where I was, and he took me out of where I was to bring me where I am today. And none of it's not spectacular. It's not like a particular anything. But God knew how to address capacity in my life, and I think this is what we're talking about.
Yeah,
and if you feel equipped and capable of doing God's work, then you have more problem than those who don't.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, question is like, could Moses have done what God called him to do at 40? Probably not.
Because
we see, we get that incident there. Now, you know, the Bible gives us, you know, information, gives us the scene. Like Moses sees something, he's emotional about it. He's moved in his emotion to strike down somebody. Mm-hmm. He had to, you know, that part of his personality, you know, which is also, you know, given by God, had to be, you know, trained in a certain way. And he learned that at 80, he could listen to God and he could go and do what he had. And he had to be bold in terms of going before Pharaoh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is like it's the leader of one of the most significant empires on the planet at that time. So he's got to come in and talk to Pharaoh on these several occasions and have the confidence that what God told him to do is actually going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing. And, you know, so we have two parts of Moses' life there when he confronts Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And he's confronting what he used to be. He's confronting his past, really. He knows these people who are watching him do these things because he grew up in that family. And now he's got to lead out the confused mob that goes out with him. And then there's a whole nother dynamic. Now he has to lead this flock. And we know that he was a victim of conspiracy from his family, Miriam and Aaron, you know, both thought, hey, why should you be large and in charge? And then we know that there was the Korah rebellion.
Yes.
That was another kind of rebellion. Yep. And then we know the spies that came back and they spoke of stoning Moses. You know, all of these things could Moses had to develop, you know, his character in a certain point to listen to God and know it was God's voice. And, you know, at other certain points, God invited him up to speak to him. Mm-hmm. And he had to deliver these kinds of things. Like, so, you know, in the context of his mission, you know, he just had to be faithful to listen to what God told him to do. Come on up on the mountain. I got something to give you for all these people. Mm-hmm. And they had to take it back down and face them in their disobedience and everything. So, yeah, I think that 40 years in the backside of the desert, I don't know how much meditation he did. I don't know how much conversation he had with mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. but it must have been something that was happening in mm-hmm. his heart. That's what I'm just guessing. I don't know this for sure, but yeah. when the bush spoke to him and when God finally got him beyond his reluctance, Moses went and did as he was told to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is are you prepared for that? Am I prepared for that? I mean, I'm an older person at this stage. You know, am I prepared for what's next? I don't know what's going to be. Am I prepared? I have some ideas that I think that God is telling me. What's going to happen to me in the next 5 to 10 years, if it's there? I don't know. I don't know. We don't. Nothing's promised to us, you know. So, I'm a lot more ready for what I am for some of the things that I'm doing now than I would have been if when I was 44, 20 years later.
Yeah.
You know, I just I've learned some things over the course of my children are now my teachers.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively, you know, my children are now my teachers in some way. I'm learning things from them just because, you know, they're growing up in this generation and I grew up in that generation.
Yeah.
And like we had the clock, I speak from this generation and the words of this generation, and I got to learn from this generation. So, I'm thinking like, his mission, the story of Moses, how can we apply? Like, be aware of the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God.
Yes.
If you have a fearfulness, then you got to ask him to give you the boldness that you can have by the Spirit.
Yeah, I think it's one thing that we learn in the Christian life is, you know, you have this idea, like, you know, if you, like my wife likes to grow plants, you know, so we have a buy, you buy a small one, and if it's going to be exposed to some wind, then you're going to have, you're going to put a branch or a stick or something, like a tutor to help it, you know, help it grow. And at some point, when the main stem or the trunk is strong enough, then you remove it. You know, it wouldn't mean anything to have a stick, you know, next to hold a 100 oak tree. That would be ridiculous. But in the Christian life, you never outgrow your tutor. That's the point. You know, like, you can't outgrow learning. You can't outgrow the reading of scriptures. You cannot outgrow obedience. You cannot outgrow being dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's one thing that is different in the world. Like, if you go to university, you have your 4-year degree, you're good for your career. Some careers you have to do certifications and stuff. Mm. But the Christian life is not the same way. It's like, I think we see that with Moses again, you know, like everything you said, what he went through, it was a learning experience for him every single time. He had to go to God every single time. Yeah. And look at, you know, we could talk about Joshua, for example, when he learned the valuable lesson when he lost the battle of Ai, because that's the one time that we, at least we see in scriptures, that he didn't consult God on the issue. Mm-hmm. And then when you build, when God gives you a victory and you think the victory is yours, like we fought the battle of Jericho, that was so easy. We just had to walk around because we're great people. And it's not because it's a great God. So we go to Ai, we don't need that many people. AI is smaller. I'm doing my calculations. I need 30,000 people. I don't need the whole gang. Let's go. And then we get defeated. And then we cry in a corner. I thought I was a big guy. I thought I could do a miracle. And God says, no, first, then there was a lie in there. But also, if you have consulted me before you go to AI, I would have brought up, the sin, you know, and before, so what's the point? I think the point is what you were saying earlier. I think one of the things that we learn from Moses and Gideon and these guys is like, okay, I think one word we could use is life of dependency. Obedience for me and repentance, it seems to be like big words. Oh, the world use though, they are scary. No, it's just another way of saying I have a life of dependency on God. Like, obedience means like, if God tells me to do something, I do it. If he tells me not to do something, I don't do it. And I think it's I mean, in leadership in particular, I think, you know, what is scary for me when you have, we don't have the lives of people in our hands. Like, we're not neurosurgeons. Of course, like, they won't die if we make a mistake. But then, you know, it still have this weight of praying, going before God and realizing I do not have the right word for this situation. I do not have the right counsel for this situation. So Moses had to unlearn his experience in Egypt, had to learn the ways of God.
Yeah.
And then he had to learn the ways of God as he was doing the work of God. So it's not like I was in the world, I went to Bible college, now I'm good to go. So you had to unlearn some things, and you have to learn more of things, because we never know how we ought to know, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, 2. And that is a great lesson for us. Like just like Moses, he went through trials in his life and he had to go to God every single time. And when he didn't, or when Joshua didn't, we know how that happened for him. So I think dependency, is a big word.
Yeah. You know? You have to. And you know, it's kind of interesting. When we talk about mission, God may ask you to do something that is outrageous, maybe. Make a golden snake, put it up on a pole, tell the people to look at it so they can be healed. That's interesting. The whole Passover thing, like, okay, you're going to slay a lamb. You're going to have that lamb in your house. You're going to get a little bit of attached to it, and then you're going to kill that lamb, and then you're going to paint its blood on its doorpost. And if you are under that, you know, it's very specific. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing with the tabernacle, very specific. And we know that, it was done perfectly. The tabernacle was built by the people, the donations of the people, all of the dimensions were followed to the T. God gave Moses these things. And then we know the glory of God came and filled that place, so much so that even Moses couldn't go in there. And that's kind of interesting, because we see that there's, you know, with Moses, we see like you can't, the lack of familiarity or being casual with God, it only left him once, and it cost him. Remember, he was told to do something to bring water out of a rock, and he didn't do as God said. He was supposed to speak to the rock. He struck the rock the second time. One time he was allowed to strike the rock with his rod, but the second time he was told to speak to it, and we know that it cost him. He was not allowed to lead the people to their final destination. And again, we see even in that story, we see the relationship he has with God, because he kept asking God, oh, please, come on, forgive me. Just let me, come on. I've been with these people for 40 years. You know how long we've been wandering. You got to let me go across. Come on, please, please, please. And God says, and it's like, it's really a speak no more about this. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if he said it with attitude, but Moses, he said, I'm going to let you see it. All right. I'm going to give you a little caveat. You're going to see it. You're going to go up to this mountain. You're going to look out and you're going to see the whole place that you would have gone in. But you know, trust me, you know, you think they're bad in the wilderness. Wait till they get in the land. I know things.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in there.
Yeah.
Let Joshua do it.
Somebody younger.
Yeah. You know, I just think like the relationship with him, and you know, he had like, and you know, he saw the glory of God at the burning bush. He saw the glory of God at the tabernacle. Yes. And he, you know, there was a point in time, I think, when he really needed to see the glory of God again.
Yes.
And, you know, he wasn't afraid to ask God, show me your glory. I need another taste of that. Yeah. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because like, Moses, just like Abraham, when he negotiated, you know, with God about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
I think about Lot. And I think it shows level, if you want to call it this way, of intimacy with God.
Mm, yeah.
But that didn't take away the respect.
That's right.
You know, like every time Abraham asked questions, if I may ask the question one more time, you know. So there's, I think, and that's what I believe it's really a story of knowing God, because knowing God is not like being familiar with him in the wrong sense. But feel comfortable, you know, just like Hebrews 4, you know, 16, we are entering into, you know, I'm sorry, I have it in French in my head, so it doesn't work very well. I mean, it could work very well, but I don't think people will listen to, you know, so anyway, Hebrews 4, you know, like we enter into his throne with boldness, right?
Yeah, come before his throne with boldness, yeah.
And therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then when thinking this, I see in this just what I see in Moses and Abraham. We go to God not because we have this special VIP pass.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's up, dude? You know, I'm just thinking maybe I'm going to praise you for a minute and then, you know, high five and I'm out of here. It's like, it's not that, because it's just like there's this, this assurance of being welcome in the presence of God, but also there's this awe of being in the presence of God at the same time.
Fear of the Lord.
Yes, and what I see here is the same thing. We call boldly into a throne of grace, but we come in time of need. I mean, I'm not there just to shake hand, do a high five, and secret handshake. Yeah. I'm here because I'm a mess. Yeah. So I think same thing. Like Abraham is like, I'm weak, you know, I'm nothing. But in the same times, I can talk to God, and I find myself in the same place because when I'm told to go boldly into the throne of grace, the word boldly describes me entering in His presence for a time of need, not because I'm feeling great. So I think this is a good lesson. Also realizing entering God's presence, nurturing this meditation and life with God has nothing to do with us being capable or worthy of this. It's Moses, you know, he felt he could ask God. Abraham asked things from God with boldness and respect and fear at the same time. And I think that's a great lesson for us, just to realize that God is not my buddy, but he's God. There's a good amount of fear in my request, but in a good kind of fear, you know.
Yeah, we've got a question here. Okay. How does one learn to rely on God's strength rather than his own strength and not focusing on the fear and idleness found in not knowing what to do or fully how to do it? I think that's a big question. I think we've all, I'll speak for myself. I know that I've had that kind of like reluctance. I've had to, you know, I think church life helps you when you're in a good, healthy church that speaks from the Bible, and you have a friend, you develop friendships there, they can encourage you and that kind of thing. I think you really need to just speak to God, just talk to him as we're talking to you today. It's like this has come boldly before the throne of grace. Moses had developed this pattern of conversation. You know, he was welcome in the presence of God. Not everyone is welcome to the degree that he was. So don't think you're going to get to go in the cleft of a rock and you're going to see the afterglow of God go flying by. But I think it's just practice, you know. We just ask God, you know, can you, you know, tomorrow is going to be better because Gideon asked God to give him a sign and he got a sign.
Yeah.
But sometimes that can become like a crutch. And we see later at the end of Gideon's life, not to spoil it, that he was still looking for signs and he wasn't as, he didn't finish his course as well as he could have. That's just a little teaser for tomorrow. Me and Philippe will be back again tomorrow. So you want to come back on the podcast and be a part of it and subscribe and all that kind of stuff. But like practical tips is like, like you just quoted maybe one of the most important things. Like there is a throne of grace. There is a place that God has allowed us to come and talk to him. And use the Psalms, use the scriptures. If you can't find words of your own, use those and sit and listen. And I don't know how anyone, it's personal. It's a personal relationship with the Lord.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is. And I think another way to answer the question would be also to say, I think one way to learn how to rely on God's strength, one good way is failure. Because when I lean on my own strength, I get the result that I get. Yeah. So I think realizing, and we go back to the word we used earlier, the humility, you go to before God, you know, and just realizing, okay, well, you know, I think God has a way, you know, to teach us, go through, you know, let us go through things that would teach us how we need to rely on Him. And so I think if I overthink whether I'm relying on myself or relying on God into a situation, then I will never enter into any situations. But for me, it's okay. So I know my natural tendencies, and if I pray that God will fill me with the Spirit in the situations, then I walk by faith that He will.
Yeah,
and that's as simple as that. I don't want to overthink it. And if I fail, then I go to God and ask for His wisdom and ask Him to guide me. But I don't make it a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. Yeah. So we've come to we've come to the end of today's discussion. So we hope we've helped you in some way. Read the story of Moses. You know, ask God as you open the pages there to reveal the way of Moses, the way that he became a meek man. Understand that God is in control. We see that God is in control. and you are very much loved. He was chosen. And we see that on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses did actually get to come into the promised land with Jesus. That's the important thing. Jesus was there. Moses and Elijah there. You can read it through the Bible and just ask God to open these things to you. Grace, failure, forgiveness, awareness. God will lead you beyond your insecurity and reluctance and will use you. Just believe God and don't, and even if it's a small thing, believe God that great things can happen. All right. So the Grace Hour Show is a ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. We have church services every Sunday, 9, 11, and 6:30. And also Wednesday, 2 days from now, Wednesday evening, we have a meeting at 7 o'clock. You'd be welcome at that meeting, whoever you are. But we want to thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can re-listen to this at gracehour.org. That's our podcast website, and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and more. Thank you for being with us this Monday. Have a great day and a great rest of the week. God bless.